This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Espo, Google it. Hey, that's me. Mike Esposito here with you on 670 The Score. One more hour from me. The guy speaking those words joins us now on the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline. Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apnissan.com. Mark Rohde is our Bears sideline reporter. He does the Bears sideline for WBBM, our sister station, Bears reporter here on The Score. Mark is at Soldier Field. He jumps on with us now. Grody, how are you, my friend? And how are things down there on the lakefront?
Mike, how are you? This is the putting it together part of the day. Obviously, we're a good 4 hours and 30 minutes away from the kickoff of this game. So this is when all the technical guys are out putting together the wireless systems and the communication systems down on the field. They're putting some tarps and banners up right now. The big, huge heaters get rolled out on both sidelines. The same heaters that once melted my gloves at a game in Green Bay, because they are for real, man. It is right now, obviously, again, hours before the game, it is cold, it is gloomy, overcast, a little bit drippy, literally where I'm standing. I should probably be closer to the field right now because I'm actually being dripped on with the protective ceiling, I put that in air quotes, above me right now. So
that's
the scene right here, man, literally putting the yard markers down. Every once in a while, you'll see one of the coaches come out here and do a little bit of exercising. There's a lot of aerobic activity that goes on with the coaches before games.
I'm sure, my friend. And nothing weather-wise, though, it doesn't look like it from here that is going to affect today's game, correct?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think I saw a high of 35. At worst, the low 20, but I don't even think that we're going to see that out here. So, no, there's no wind. Does not appear that it will be a factor in this game, as I saw 5 to 10 miles per hour. Obviously, that is all subject to change. And from my position where I will be, I will have a great grasp on that during the game. So, you know, people after the Score pregame show can tune in to WBBM and listen to the game, and we'll keep you up to date on everything that is going on in that regard. But yeah, no, I don't think that there's going to be, and I don't think there's any sign of precipitation unless something has changed in the last couple of hours. So I would think that these players are going to find these conditions to be, in relative terms, ideal for a football game today.
Yeah, and it does not sound like anything, and I have not mentioned, and shame on me, for the first 2 hours, the potential for kicking to get involved in this one. Cairo Santos and Mason Crosby are two of the best in the business. At least this year, Santos has been money, and we certainly don't want to recall the last playoff game played at Soldier Field and kicking. But should it come down to kicking, certainly Santos seems to be on a roll.
Yeah, I mean, he's been confident from anywhere and everywhere. He's been tested. It's not like he's just booting chip shots. I mean, some of them are. I mean, he's hit some 40 and beyond. So every way possible, he's been tested. I will tell you this, that for whatever it's worth, this was not a week in which Cairo Santos was able to come to Soldier Field, as Chris Tabor, the Bears special teams coach, cited weather as a reason that they didn't make it to Soldier Field this week, something that they have been doing and have enjoyed doing. I think at this point we can trust that Cairo Santos is pretty good at kicking in the conditions at Soldier Field. And the Bears, too, this week, Mike, you know, while we're talking about it, every one of their practices this week was indoors. And I actually asked Matt Nagy about that, like, what was the advantage of it? And it sounded like it was just more of a, at this point, a disadvantage to practice outside, because one of their main practice fields was filled with ice, and they just decided that at this point, it's safer inside. Keep guys protected, keep guys from getting injured. There's no reason to mess with that. And that's been an interesting philosophy of Matt Nagy that we haven't really talked about a lot, that over the last four or five games, practices have been lowered in intensity and in duration. A lot of indoor practices, a lot of walkthrough practices, as opposed, like Wednesday this past week, which is usually in any NFL field around the league, Wednesdays are usually the biggest day. The game plan goes in, and, you know, it is really a technical and big time day as far as practice is concerned. It was a walkthrough this week, and mm-hmm. It has been that past several weeks, a lot of Veterans Days off. And at this point, can't argue with it, because whatever they're doing in practice, it's finally starting to translate to the game.
Yeah, and we saw, all we have to do is look across the field at the Packers to see what can happen in practice with David Bakhtiari suffering an ACL injury in practice this week. He will not play, of course, this week, and that could be a huge swing in this game, possibly.
I was just talking to Tom Thayer. We were just sitting down here in the stands. I believe we were the attendance in the stands as we were discussing this. Attendance of two for the pregame, if you're keeping track at home. But what we were talking about is we don't know what the configuration is going to be. We don't know who's going to be where at this point. If they make drastic changes, they just slide somebody in, and we all know the names. But it's not like the Packers are lost without Bakhtiari. He is their best, but that's a pretty good offensive line with him or without him. They are better with him. However, this is not like going to be a game that, because Bakhtiari is not there, that all of a sudden you can do anything you want to do to the Packers. I think the Bears can take advantage of it to some degree. There's no doubt about it. But like I said, they are not a one-man offensive line by any means. They do have a pretty good, as cliche as it is, the whole next man up mentality is pretty good on that side of things. And as you know, as Tom and I were discussing just now, the only way that team is truly hurt by injury on offense is with number 12, and that's it. And nobody hopes for that. And hell, even when he does get injured, he tends to come back, talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Can we resurrect the ghost of Shea McClellan to somehow knock him out of this game so that the Bears would not have to feel him?
All right, Espo. Hell, I should have looked this up. No, wait, uh-huh. Wait. Stick with me here a second. So
I'm with
Tom
you.
And I, when we were just talking, okay, so that first game in 2018 of the Matt Nagy regime, where the Bears have the big lead, Aaron Rodgers gets injured, and Bears fans, you know, are thinking, oh my God, and, you know, then he goes out, and then he comes back and did what he did. Who was their backup quarterback? Who was the kid from Notre Dame?
Was it
Tom and I are sitting there. We couldn't.
Oh, DeShone Kizer.
Thank you. My God. I could. We're both sitting there shaking our heads, both with our phones, and neither of us could just look it up. So DeShone Kizer comes into that game, and, you know, Bears fans had to be like, okay, all right. And then Rodgers comes back in. So, it's funny. Like, I think we've done a great job, and when I say we, I mean the score, everybody, all the shows, all the experts that we have, done a great job of breaking this game down. I can't wait to hear what Hub and Olin and Pat all have to say about this game. But at the end of the day, at the end of everything, it comes down to number 12, because he's a killer, period.
Agreed. And I want to ask you this, too. We've had some debate on, you know, defensively with the Bears. Down in the secondary, Jalen Johnson and Buster Screen. So Duke Shelley and Kendall Vildor will be in. Peter Bukowski from the Locked On Packers podcast, our last guest, jokingly asked me if I made up the name Kendall Vildor. I assured him that I did not make it up. He is an actual player. But with those guys out there, and I know Chuck Pagano defenses don't normally move around a guy like Kyle Fuller to shadow Davante Adams. But is that something that you think may happen today or no?
Yeah, I also think there'll be some safety help and look for, you know, Eddie Jackson and Deshaun Gibson to be active in that regard and to be very boisterous out there and be communicating because, man, remember that last game? I mean, there are way too many times where Aaron Rodgers, back in the November game, where he had all day, where it felt like it was slow motion with all the time he had back there, which obviously is a huge disadvantage to your secondary. And, you know, the offense didn't kill the Bears in that game. You know, like it was more of the, well, the running game killed them. So I was going to say Aaron Rodgers didn't crush them. But, yeah, you have to figure out a way to get a little bit more, or at least the appearance of pressure on Aaron Rodgers, so he thinks, at least he thinks he has to get rid of the ball more quickly, because you just cannot get away with allowing Aaron Rodgers and that offense to have that kind of time, considering that you do have two very young cornerbacks in who have been fine, but you are obviously better off if you have Jalen Johnson and Buster Skrine.
Mark Rohde, our guest, he is live at Soldier Field. He will be prowling the sidelines for our sister station, News Radio WBBM, with Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer on the broadcast for Bears-Packers. Game time today at 3:25. And Mark, I wanted to ask you, too, we talked earlier this week about that Week 12 game. Probably, I mean, it's certainly in contention in my vote for worst game of the season for the Chicago Bears. It was 27-3 at one point. It was 41-10 after three. And, yeah, that's why stats can somehow be misleading, because the Bears did score some garbage time points there, right? But, I mean, that was never a game. And certainly the Bears, to their credit, have found ways to be successful and have rebounded from that, both offensively and defensively. They've been much better.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that game was their worst game, but I would give honorable mention to the Detroit game right after that,
yeah,
which was played right here at Soldier Field.
Right.
So at least Green Bay was a team that you expected could do something like that to the Bears. What Detroit did to the Bears, I don't think anybody expected them to do. It's a great question. Like, how much has the gap closed from 41-25 to now, you know, basically a month and change later? How much has the gap closed? I mean, and I think it has closed to some degree, but not to the point where you say confidently the Bears are going to win by a touchdown or whatever. But I can't wait to see, man. I can't wait to see what the Bears, specifically with the Bears. We know everything that the Bears defense has to do, but I do want to see this Bears offense, what it looks like against that Packers defense. You know, a very good, you know, front for Green Bay Packers defense. They've got some good secondary men as well. So, I mean, this is a true test for the Bears offense. Is what we have seen recently from the Bears offense real? And I think today we're going to find out. You know, defensively, we haven't even really touched on it, but, man, like, the thing that bugged me the most on November 29th was the 180-some-odd rushing yards,
yep,
Green Bay had against the Bears defense, albeit without Akeem Hicks, but still, that is inexcusable to have had that. And, you know, and now enter A.J. Dillon into the fray, who didn't even hurt,
yep,
them the last time around. He, you know, he's coming off a 124-yard game. Aaron Jones had 94 yards, so it's like they've continued what they did against the Bears. They've continued to do so, and we know that, like, it's a field day for Aaron Rodgers if he gets the running game going, so you must stop that.
You must stop it, and if not now, when, right? I mean, Hicks is back, Nichols is playing great, you've got Mack and Quinn to rush the passers, and hopefully, and I've seen a lot about Robert Quinn this week. I know he's been struggling here in his first year at Chicago. He's playing better of late, but in your opinion, Grody, can Robert Quinn make his presence felt in this game today?
Well, I guess we do go back to the Bakhtiari thing on this one, and that does allow a little bit more of a possibility from Robert Quinn. But, I mean, being honest, Mike, I mean, I don't think you could depend on it. I mean, I don't think that should be something that, you know, based on what we've seen in past games from Robert Quinn, I mean, you can't look at it and say, well, our game hinges on, or our game plan hinges on Robert Quinn breaking through and putting pressure on Aaron Rodgers and or sacking him. I just don't think that that's realistic. So it would be like, it still would be bonus time. Like if Robert Quinn is bonus for the Bears today, yes, you can say he has to be good, but I can't imagine that Chuck Pagano's game plan is, well, we're going to depend on Robert Quinn to get it done or else we're screwed. You know what I mean? Like you can't do that. It'd be nice. It's nice to think about, but in this game against that quarterback who is that elusive to think that this is Robert Quinn's game, I don't know if that's realistic.
Well, and I'm hopeful, Grody, that we can exorcise the demons of the last Week 17 huge game that mattered between these two teams that happened in 2013. You may have been sitting next to me in the press box for that one. I can't remember. But that was the Randall Cobb-Chris Conte game. I think we were probably sitting next to each other in the press box for that weekend. And this would be something where we definitely need to scrub that one out of our memories.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I think it's a little bit more unexpected that the Bears are in the position in which they are right now, even than that year. So it's a little bit more of a bonus time. But yeah, thanks for bringing that memory back to all of Bears fans on our 50,000-watt powerhouse of a radio station.
Well, we talked about it, and actually I have to share this with you. Our guest at 10 o'clock was Gary Ellerson from 105.7 The Fan in Milwaukee, and he played for the Packers in the mid-'80s.
Yeah, I remember him.
Gary recalled his first trip to Soldier Field as a rookie on a Monday night in 1985, in the fall of 1985, and he talked about in the pregame tunnel, Forrest Gregg and Mike Ditka charging at each other to fight each other pregame. And they had to be separated by Richard Dent, I know, on the Bears side. I forget who he said grabbed Forrest Gregg, but that was the game that we first saw Refrigerator Perry in the backfield for the Bears.
That's so funny, man. I just think that Dick, I will whoop your ass. That is.
Come on down to Washington Street, and I'll take care of you, Forrest Gregg.
I mean, that was the last time there was, like, real legitimate hate in this rivalry. I mean, these players all accept the rivalry, but they're for the most part, that you know, in this day and age and the nature of the game, they're all pretty friendly with each other. Actually, now that I think about it, I don't know how much the players on those Bears-Packers teams actually hated. Well, no, there was Charles Martin who did.
Charles
he did
Martin.
Slant. He did have he did have names on a towel of Bears players he wanted to hurt. So I think I just worked through this, Mike. The players didn't like each other either.
Well, you had a lot more longevity on the teams. You had guys that stuck around more that were more lifers on certain teams. You know, that 85 team had a lot of Paytons and Hamptons and, you know, Ditka as the coach, whatever. But I just love that story because, you know, he's talking about getting pelted by people throwing beer at him and Gregg and Ditka almost fighting before the game. I just thought you would appreciate that as a longtime Bears guy that I know you are.
Oh, yeah. No, that's great. It's that kind of stuff that is, you know, you're just not going to see that again. You're not going to see, probably not while we're alive. I mean, maybe a generation from now, things will go back to like that. But, you know, while this Bears-Packers rivalry is still fun, you don't have the same kind of animosity. The Bears dominated in the 80s, and the Packers have dominated basically since the 90s and the Brett Favre era and Aaron Rodgers. But, man, today, if the Bears can get a win today, it's amazing what this does for everybody. You know, the morale of the fans, the team and the security that players and coaches and front office members would get out of it. And I'm not saying they don't have security now, but you know what I mean? I mean, this game, if they win this game here today, the whole season, the entire season has a different complexion to it.
Yep, and the offseason and what to do with Mitch and all those other fun things that we're going to talk about once football is done being played. But for now, my friend, enjoy the game today. Another chapter is written in Bears-Packers and hopefully a Bears victory down at Soldier Field this afternoon.
Amen, Mike. All right, what do we got coming up next? What do we got? What do we got?
We got Patrick Finley from the Sun-Times. He will join us.
And we'll
cross-talk with Olin and Pat leading into pregame. So this is going
to
be...
Oh, my God. Say hello to everybody for me, all right?
I shall, my friend. Take care, buddy.
All right.
Mark Grody, Bears sideline reporter, score reporter. An all-around good man joining us from Soldier Field. As I just told Grody, Patrick Finley from the Sun-Times will join us next as we continue to break down Bears-Packers. Mike Esposito here on 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Nothing in the next day or two. I mean, it's all been said and done. You know, like, we've been going on this thing for weeks, and we understand where we're at. So now it's just a matter of making sure that everybody's dotting their I's and crossing their T's. We just got done with our third day of in-week practice with the red zone and other specialty situation things. So the guys, I mean, they were flying around today, and I like where they're at. Again, when you have good practices, it normally translates to playing well on Sunday, but we got to do that. So the messaging part, you know, they've been well aware of where we're at for weeks.
Matt Nagy, Bears head coach, Bears flying around, taking care of things leading up to the Packers. Bears, Packers, 325 at Soldier Field. Mike Esposito here on The Score, taking you up to our pregame show with Hub Arkish, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, the Bet Rivers Bears pregame show presented by MailMedChicago.com. Lots of great stuff on the pregame show today, starting at noon, including Brian Urlacher at 1:20, Dan Pompey at 3. Keep it here right here on 670 The Score as we build up to Bears and Packers. Right now, we are pleased to jump on out to the Alpamonte Nissan hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apnissan.com. You find him on Twitter at Patrick Finley. You find him in the Sun Times, as I do every day, including today with Bears coverage. Patrick Finley from the Sun Times joins us. Hey, Patrick, thanks for hopping on with us.
You know, you gotta start on Twitter really, really, really early in its founding to get the full name without any doodads on it. So I appreciate the clarification.
That's right. No, I did correct my mistake there. But yes, you are a proud at Patrick Finley. I had to go with an at Espo 670 because there's no chance Mike Esposito was going to be open. So. appreciate your time today and your piece in today's Sun Times, which I have right here in front of me. I'm a good old home subscriber. Talks about really the buildup of what this season has meant and all the craziness going back to the spring and the draft with COVID-19 and then getting the season in. But really where the Bears have seesawed all season, to have it come down to this with the Packers coming into Soldier Field, and you contradict that to the last time these two teams faced each other at Soldier Field, which I thought was very good.
Yeah, you know, the last time they played each other at Soldier Field, it was the NFL's 100th anniversary. It was the season opener. Rather than the Super Bowl champion being on national TV, it was the Bears and Packers. And Matt Nagy showed up wearing a three-piece suit and George Halas's fedora that George McCaskey told him to wear or let him wear. And then the Bears went out and were unbelievably flat, lost the game 10-3. Their season was never what they had hoped it would be. You know, they finished 8-8, and this year it looked to be even worse until they pulled themselves out with this three-game win streak here. So the Bears need to handle today a lot better than they handled the last home game against the Packers.
Yeah, no doubt. And certainly, you know, as you talk about what has happened in the last month and, you know, really as the Bears have saved their season, I'd love your opinion on this because Mitch has certainly played better since he got back in. There was the loss to the Lions, which the Mitch fumble was a huge part of that, but he's really played better overall. Is this hey, we're playing teams with bad defenses? Because statistically, I mean, Jacksonville, Detroit, Houston, Minnesota, I mean, those are four of the worst in the league. Is it that, or is it, hey, you know what? This guy really learned something from that time he spent on the bench, and now he's showing it.
I think it's probably a little bit of both. I think we will get that answer today. You know, my colleague Mark Potash had a good story the other day, and he made a good point, which is if the league has figured out the Bears' offense, we'll find out today. Because even if the Jaguars had figured it out, their defense isn't good enough to do anything about it. Mm-hmm. You could probably say the same about the Texans. You know, the Vikings are a little better than that, probably. We'll find out today. I mean, you know, to me, the interesting conversation about Mitch Trubisky is, you know, now that they've paired him with this offense, is that enough to keep him? And if you do, are you afraid that NFL defensive coordinators will spend the offseason trying to figure out how to stop this? And if so, and then if you've got to change horses midstream again next year, schematically, the way they did this year, do you have any faith that Mitch would be good at that? You know, I would argue that we've seen Mitch in a traditional drop back offense, and it's not great. So, we'll learn a lot of things today. And then, you know, one way or the other, whether the season ends today or whether it ends next week or the week after that, the Bears will have some decisions to make in terms of not only the quarterback, but in terms of, you know, whether they go out and pursue another one.
Right. And I want to ask you about those decisions in a little bit, but speaking of the offense, I'm curious as to your take. I mean, we all know, you know, it was a big deal when Bill Lazor took over calling plays from Matt Nagy. What is this offense that we're watching now? This is clearly the Matt Nagy offense, but is Bill Lazor calling all the plays with input from Matt Nagy, without input from Matt Nagy? How does this work so our fans, so our listeners can understand what the difference is and what the Bears offensively were doing earlier in the season and are doing now? How do you understand this to be working?
As Matt Nagy said, I think maybe 10 or 12 days ago, Bill is the one calling the plays, period. That doesn't mean that Matt and Bill don't spend all week collaborating. That doesn't mean that Matt doesn't make suggestions during the course of the game. He certainly does. But when you're asking who is the person who decides what play goes in, Bill Lazor is the one running that portion of the show. The Bears have talked all year about how it's a collaborative process during the week to come up with the stack of plays that they think will be useful. I think we have noticed a change in the offense since Lazor took control. To me, it seems like more of a flank attack, a lot more pre-snap motion, a lot more tempo. Whether, you know, we've all seen that when they, you know, race the line of scrimmage and either snap it real quick or, you know, or then dictate when it goes. We've seen the hard counts that Mitch Trubisky's put in. We've seen throws in the flat to Cole Kmet, to Jimmy Graham. And more than anything, we've seen an effective outside zone run game, which is a credit not only to David Montgomery, but to an offensive line that finally figured it out and that finally got the right five guys on the field at the right time. So the Lazor, if you ask me to describe the Lazor offense, it would be flank attack, motion, but you know, it's obviously got Matt Nagy's fingerprints on it, even if he's not the one who's calling the plays, you know, in the headset on Sunday.
And Patrick Finley from the Sun Times, a few more minutes with him. It's certainly a lot of mobile Mitch or moving Mitch, not pocket Mitch, and you kind of mentioned that in one of your earlier answers. But one thing we are not seeing a ton of is Mitch just standing back there trying to throw out of the pocket.
Yeah, and that's good for a couple of reasons. Number one, I mean, the reason the Bears fell in love with this guy in the first place, you know, in the draft process, was his accuracy and his ability to throw on the run. Taking advantage of that is a smart thing and has always been a smart thing with him. Obviously, it looks a lot better when you've got a run game going, you know, and I'd argue to you that when Nick Foles was in or earlier in the year, obviously he's not nearly as athletic as Mitch. But, you know, the run game was getting swallowed up behind the line of scrimmage more often than not when Foles was there. So he really didn't have a fighting chance. You know, I look back at, do you remember the Rams Super Bowl team of a couple years ago?
Sure.
You know, they had
Yep.
Jared Goff. Yeah, I mean, they had Jared Goff essentially doing this, which is, you know, handing the ball off under center and then cutting the field in half and giving them two decisions to make, you know, as he rolled to his right or rolled to his left. I think that that's an effective way to handle a young quarterback. I think there's a really interesting conversation to be had about, okay, you know, if Mitch Trubisky is going to come back, you know, if they decide to bring him back, what happens in year five? You know, don't we have to go beyond kind of the cut the field in half idea? But right now it works. And it's, you know, it's not just that they've been average. It's that they've been, you know, what, one of the top five offense in football in the last month. And
right.
I don't think anybody saw that coming. Even the most optimistic Bears fans, I don't think had any idea that this was what was coming up.
Right. Well, and you know what? I hate to not talk about the Packers, but you brought up Jared Goff. And that, to me, when you look at what Goff was and what Goff is, and the fact that the Rams paid him, and we've, you know, we certainly know about Carson Wentz getting benched in Philly, and he got paid, and you know, the Bears declined Mitch's option. So after today, you know, all bets are off as to what, you know, happens with Mitch, because should they lose today and not make the playoffs, that could be the end of his run. But that to me is the fascinating question out of all of this: is Mitch a guy that is only able to be successful, as you just mentioned, kind of how Goff was successful during that Rams Super Bowl season, or is he a guy that can build on what he's done? I don't know if there's a definitive answer. I don't think there is, but I would be curious to know what your take on future Mitch might be.
If you asked me what I would do, I would bring Mitch. If you decided to bring Mitch back, the conditions I would have would be you bring him back and you tell him we're going to draft a quarterback and that you will compete with the quarterback and, you know, and may the best man win. And we'll see if, you know, if you can be more than just a bridge. You know, if that's what I would do, I would not invest in him as the answer, because I still don't think we know that right now. And, you know, you brought up, you know, Carson Wentz and Goff. It's such an interesting debate with both of those guys. They both got extended a full year before they had to be. Which, you know, you see teams doing nowadays, but seemed to backfire in both of their cases here. And, you know, their teams both got to a Super Bowl. You know, the Eagles won, you know, despite Wentz being hurt. You know, they got, mm-hmm. you know, they won the Super Bowl because of both. The Rams went to the Super Bowl and lost. You know, in a vacuum, they kind of accomplished what they were supposed to accomplish there. But I would rather be in the Bears quarterback situation right now than either the Rams or the Eagles. And that's pretty amazing. You know, maybe I'd rather have Jalen Hurts, but I'm not sure I want Carson Wentz at that price, and I'm pretty sure I don't want Goff at that price either.
Right. Well, and it's funny, too, because, you know, everyone talks about Sean McVay and what a great, innovative offensive play caller he is and great head coach, but I wonder in his heart of hearts, and this is, we're getting way off topic here, but what he would do with a really good, with an Aaron Rodgers, a Pat Mahomes, a Deshaun Watson, as opposed to a Jared Goff in that offense. That would be fun to watch, I think.
Yeah. No, well, yeah. And, you know, you wonder what Matt Nagy would do with,
right.
You
yeah.
know, I mean, Matt Nagy spent a year in the quarterback room getting Patrick Mahomes ready to be an NFL quarterback. You wonder whether when he came to the Bears, he thought that those plays that they had always dreamed would work for Mahomes in his second and third year might work for Trubisky.
Patrick Finley from the Sun-Times, our guest. A few more minutes with him as we lead on up to Bears and Packers. And you mentioned the Bears running game and the O-line. You know, Leno, Whitehair, Mustafa, Bars, Fetty, as they've shuffled that line and really then solidified on this lineup. What is it, as you watch the Bears every week and as you have studied the film on this, what is it that that group is doing well? How is this running game, how has it taken off, whereas before it was bogged down in the backfield?
The dumb answer is they're not missing blocks. the slightly smarter answer is that the chemistry that these five guys have has been really good. And when you run a lot of this outside zone stuff, a lot of it is timing and making sure that everybody is kind of acting as one. Sam Mustipher is where you have to start when you talk about this offensive line. This is a guy who was an undrafted free agent out of Notre Dame. Has all the pedigree in the world. I mean, literally, you know, spent the offseason working out with Quentin Nelson, you know, who might be the best offensive lineman on the planet right now. You know, is somebody who is universally praised by his teammates, is a leader, and is somebody who has taken control as the man in the middle there. He's been maybe the most pleasant surprise of anybody this season on the Bears. I mean, Bill Lazor told a story a couple of weeks ago about how they were watching film as a team and that Mustipher did something and his entire team applauded. Which, when you imagine what it takes for an entire team to applaud an undrafted free agent who was making his second or third start in the NFL. And I think that's pretty remarkable. I mean, Allen Robinson is one of the most Allen Robinson is one of the brightest football minds on the team. But Allen Robinson knew Sam Mustipher's name after his first start, and I was surprised by that because uh-huh. you know you just don't hear about this sort of stuff. So he has been important there. I think Cody Whitehair is a better guard than he is a center. That enabled Cody to play left guard. You know, Alex Barz is a big old guy who seems to be more comfortable there on the right-hand side. And then Ifedi, you know, the Seahawks let Ifedi go because they didn't think he was the right tackle. And the Bears paid Ifedi guard money, not tackle money, when they signed him as a free agent. But his ability to kick outside and help them out, I think, is notable. You know, Bobby Massey began practicing this week. He's still on injured reserve. He's obviously, you know, not playing this week. But if they decide that he's healthy enough, I'll be really curious to see whether they want to put him at right tackle in the playoffs, if they make the playoffs, and kick Ifedi inside, because I think that's probably their best lineup. But, you know, at some point, do you want to screw with a good thing? I mean, this is as good as, you know, the Bears offensive line has looked in 2 years. And I wouldn't blame Nagy and offensive line coach Juan Castillo if they just want to, you know, dance with the girl they brung, or whatever that phrase is.
Yep. No, I think you got it. And I agree with you. I think should they make the playoffs, regardless of Massey's health, I think how do you break up a unit that's working as well as this one is right now? I think that's the play there.
Yeah. Unless, you know, and there is a world where, you know, they could get beat and beat bad today and still make the playoffs. And, you know, maybe that's a different conversation than if they beat the Packers to make the playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, where we are right this moment, I'm not sure I'd mess with anything.
Well, and as I have my Sun Times right in front of me here, Patrick, I know your prediction, but please share with the class, as my old co-host Steve Rosenblum used to say, what you see happening here today.
First of all, I want to point out that I'm 12-3 this season.
Yes, you are.
Straight up winners of the Bears game. So that said, I've got the Bears losing in overtime, I believe 33-30. The scenario I painted in the Thursday paper, or I'm sorry, in the Friday paper when these picks came out with the full explanation was that I think the Bears go to overtime when the rest of the world knows that they're in the playoffs either way. I think the Rams will beat the Cardinals today. I think we'll know that by late in the fourth quarter. I've got the Bears going into overtime and losing to the Packers. Aaron Rodgers is just really good. And, you know, the Packers right now are playing as though they're the second or third best team in football. And, you know, the Bears can play a really good game and still lose. And I think that that's what happens here. It'll be really interesting to see how Bears fans ride the roller coaster today, not only with the Bears game, but with the Cardinals and Rams, because that, you know, there are two different ways that this could happen. I mean, the reason to root for the Rams is that, you know, then the Bears are in regardless. But if the Cardinals win and the Bears win, the Bears all of a sudden are a 6 seed instead of a 7 seed. So it's going to be nervous time both in Arizona and here.
Absolutely. And listen, you have more faith in the Rams than I do, mainly because the John Wolford quarterbacking situation. I couldn't pick him out of a lineup. I do this for a living, right? I mean, it's one of those where it's like, all right, I know nothing about this guy, and he's Kyler Murray and the Cardinals in a must-win game. I don't know about that.
Just because he's a CFL quarterback who's never started an NFL game, come on, why not? No,
I know.
My guess, I think Kyler Murray will be hampered by his leg injury. I think they'll turn him into a pocket passer, and I'm just going off of the Cardinal team I've seen for the last couple of weeks, and I don't think they have it. And, you know, maybe that's enough to beat a Rams team with a backup quarterback, but I still think the Rams have got better players except for that quarterback position, which is a big if. But I like the Rams best.
Well, we will certainly hope for that, Patrick Finley, and we appreciate you jumping on talking Bears-Packers with us today.
Sure thing. Thanks so much.
Patrick Finley from the Chicago Sun-Times, again on Twitter, at Patrick Finley. He does pick the Packers in the paper today. He is 12-3, as he mentioned, overall this season, picking winners in Bears games. He picks the Packers in overtime, but still thinks they make the playoffs after the Cardinals lose. We have one more segment. We may chat with Olin Krutz, for transition, as we head on into the Bet Rivers Bears pregame show presented by MailMedChicago.com. Hub, Olin, Patrick Manley coming up at the top of the hour. One more segment with me, Mike Esposito, here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Go Bears!
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I know you're locked into the preparation for this game, but you know, the Bears have not gotten into the playoffs in Week 17 since 1994, and they historically have struggled against the Packers in late-season games, especially with Aaron Rodgers. Like I said, I know you're locked into this game, and it's only your third season here, but as a head coach, do you feel any of that anticipation and trepidation and just the challenge of this week that a lot of Bears fans are kind of feeling heading into this game?
Well, you understand it, right? Because when you're a Bears fan or you've been a part of this for your entire life, and you just mentioned about the 1994, obviously that's very important, and we get that. We would never disrespect that for those that haven't been a part of that that feeling and that opportunity that's been there or hasn't been there. So we recognize it, but we know with where we're at right now and what sits in front of us is we need to go out there and play every single play this Sunday. As fast and productive as we can together. And this is a really good opponent that we're facing. You saw it last night, the way that they're playing. And so you understand that. And now what you got to do is we got to worry about us. And I think that's probably when we go back and look at how that first game went, you know, we just, and credit to them, you know, they did some good things and we didn't play up to par how we should have played. So that's going to be our biggest challenge, is having a hell of a week of practice, being completely focused in and locked in and understanding where we're at. And then all that other stuff with the history and everything that comes with us playing well. And then hopefully we can change that.
Matt Nagy on Monday talking to the media, talking about the Green Bay Packers, talking about the rivalry. And yeah, isn't that fascinating? The Bears have not made the playoffs as a wild card team since the 1994 season. That was Dave Wanstead. That was the year they beat the Vikings in Minnesota with Steve Walsh as their quarterback. It's been all or nothing for the Bears since then. Division winners in 2001 under Dick Geron. They lost to the Eagles at a home playoff game that year. 2005, 2006, 2010 under Lovey, division winners in that 2006 team, the Super Bowl team, of course, that lost to the Colts. And then 2018 under Matt Nagy, they lost again to the Eagles in the playoff game, again at Soldier Field, this time with the dreaded double doink. Last few minutes with me, Mike Esposito, leading up to Hub Arkish, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, the Bet Rivers Bears pregame show presented by MailmanChicago.com. That is coming up next. Brian Urlacher at 1:20 with the guys. Dan Pompey at 3. Mark Grody from Soldier Field. And Tom Silverstein from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel will join the guys on the Bet Rivers Bears pregame show. And I caught this, a few nuggets here from Twitter during the break. The first from Darren Rovell from Action Network, also the business of sports betting, sports business reporter. He has said, for those of you that do, the Bears-Packers game, the most bet game of the day today at William Hill Sportsbook, with 15% of the total money going on this game. I know that is of interest to lots of you. To those of you God-fearing people, I saw Colleen Kane from the Tribune on her Twitter said that they were saying prayers for the Bears at Holy Name Cathedral, that as reported by her mother, who was live streaming Holy Name Cathedral Sunday Mass. So there's that working in the Bears' favor here on Week 17 Sunday, Bears-Packers on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This is a rivalry that has produced a lot of pain for the Bears in late season games and playoff games at Soldier Field. The 2010 title game where Jay Cutler got hurt and the Bears lost. The 2013 game where Chris Conte did Chris Conte things and Randall Cobb scored the winning touchdown. The Bears are hoping to change the narrative today. And as I see this, and listen, logically, I think Green Bay wins this game. Aaron Rodgers is, in my mind, the MVP of the league this season. 44 touchdowns, only 5 picks. Just so smart with the football. 20-5 against the Bears as a starter. If the Bears are to win, and listen, absolutely can do that. I think it's on the Bears defense to show up. I think it's on Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn and Roquan Smith Eddie Jackson, Kyle Fuller, Akeem Hicks, who's back, to show that they're worth the money they're being paid in the cases of Mack, Quinn, and Eddie, and Kyle Fuller, who's on a nice contract as well, but really earn their money, make big plays, get in Aaron Rodgers' face, pressure him, make him uncomfortable, because that's what you need to do. If you let him sit back there, you have no chance of winning this game. I hope Mitch Trubisky has a good game. I would love to see a continuation of the running game, as we have seen for the past month or so with David Montgomery. David's got 529 yards and six TDs in his past five games. That O-line that we talked about with Patrick Finley, Leno, Whitehair, Mustafa, Bars, Ifedi, has been very effective over that stretch, and they are playing much better than they did earlier this season as an offensive line. Can the Bears stop Aaron Rodgers? Field goals instead of touchdowns, punts instead of touchdowns, and can that Bears offense continue to put up points as they have, 35 points per game over their last four? Lots of people to thank for our show today. Jordan Malley, our excellent producer, thank you, sir, for a job well done. Our guests, J.J. Stankovitz, NBC Sports Chicago. We had Gary Ellerson, a great time with him from 105.7 The Fan up in Milwaukee. Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers podcast, and Patrick Finley from the Sun-Times were our guests today. Coming up next, the Bet Rivers Bears pregame show presented by MailmanChicago.com. Hub Arkish, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, along with special guest Brian Urlacher and many others, coming right up here on The Score. I'm Mike Esposito. We'll talk to you again soon. Stick around for the Bet Rivers Bears pregame show with Hub and the guys next.
Calling all Chicago sports fans. Tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Be listening to 670 The Score on your radio or on your streaming devices as The Score makes a major announcement. Again, major news affecting the future of The Score. Tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Don't miss this huge Score news.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.